broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Medcare Business Network, featuring your host, Tom Harbin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tom Harbin. I'm your host today on Medcare Business Network, and we are so excited today. We have got a special guest, Dr. Ella Grigorian. And let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Grigorian before she says hello to everybody. Dr. Ella Grigorian is a family medicine doctor, board certified with the AAFP. She has had a varied and rich career in areas of family medicine and urgent care medicine. In her years of practice, she has worked as a medical director, has held adjunct faculty posts, worked as a ringside physician. That's interesting. I'd like to hear more about that one, maybe. Contributed to college campus tobacco cessation programs, performed non-invasive aesthetic procedures on her patients. She has extensive experience in telemedicine and currently continues her work as a family physician, nutrition and wellness blogger, and medical director. Wow, you're staying busy these days, doctor. And you are out of Dallas, Texas, correct?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me on. Doing great. Thanks so much for taking the time today to be here with us.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Right. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. That was a lot of things that you're busy with right now. So go ahead, Dr. Grigorian, tell us what's going on with you today.
Well, it's interesting. You like that whole ringside physician things. All the gentlemen that I speak with like that because they're always either into boxing or wrestling or MMA. And, you know, everyone asks me, what's it like to sit ringside, you know, and be there while, you know, the two guys are going at it.
Right, right.
Sure they don't kill each other. It was an interesting experience, actually. Really liked it. An awesome experience.
Now, did you ever have to clean up any blood or anything like that?
You know, when I was suturing after fights, yeah.
So, really? Okay.
The main thing is just to make sure that you recognize that KO before it comes.
Yes.
You got to be fast and light on your feet yourself. You got to just kind of jump in the ring.
Right.
And you know, not be worried. It's definitely a man's world, I got to say. Other than the card holders, the ladies that were holding the cards,
yes.
I was the only other female physician. That was it. So that was kind of interesting.
No, that is great.
Yeah,
so
great.
you do rings. You've done some ringside medicine, and also you're a board certified family physician. And tell us a little bit about yourself. What else do you do?
Oh yeah, sure. So currently in Dallas, of course, like I said, I hold a California license, and I am in the process of becoming, a full-fledged Texan, getting a Texas medical license. And so I hope to work a little bit in the Dallas area.
It seems like a lot of people have moved from California to Texas lately.
Yes, yes. Don't tell anybody else.
Right.
Yeah. Dallas is full now, everyone. Do not come here.
And it's real hot today, too, right?
And it is hot. It is hot, yes. But yes, I'm part of that whole California exodus.
Right.
You know, funny thing, I used a moving company, and the name of the moving company was Cali Exodus. I mean, they've got...
They're probably busy these days.
This is dedicated to people like me.
Wow, that's interesting. That shows you the times, right?
Yes, exactly. But you know what? Medicine is medicine no matter where you are. And
yes.
I'm just so grateful that I chose wisely.
Right.
Decided correctly for my personality.
So how did you get into medicine?
As a little child, I always liked to mend things. So my parents thought, okay, well, she's either going to be, a nurse or, you know, I could listen to people. So maybe psychologist. That's what, what they thought I was going to be. Little by little, as I went into some social work between medical school and after college, I realized how much I could help people by just listening to them. But listening wasn't enough. I really needed to know what was wrong with them to be able to fix them, to be able to at least make them feel better, right? If not completely cure, but at least manage whatever disease at hand. And I realized I got to study. I got to know the nuts and bolts of medicine. And off I went to med school to make that happen.
Wow. It's like what you just, I'm not a physician, but just listening, it's always, you know, it's like after the fact, a doctor like fixes the broken leg after the kid falls down the stairs, or, you know, they put a Band-Aid on it after. It's, I know that you do a lot. You're very interested and focused in preventative type medicine, I believe, but you can go into that a little bit, but that's interesting. So you always like to help people, and then you needed to study. So you went to medical school. Then what happened?
Well, then I, that medical school journey took me on an incredible journey. I met so many wonderful people, studied, went to, finally got to my clinicals, which is basically the third year of medical school. So you're basically shadowing a whole bunch of doctors and residents around trying to learn your craft. And I remember the day I had arrived. Now, this was in New Jersey back then. Mm-hmm. I arrive at this hospital. Of course, I'm running late. Not that I run late all the time, but I was running late that day. And the doctor took me through the back of this room. I opened the room and there was a sea of white coats. Everyone had their back to me. And there was the poor resident talking and giving his night's report. And that's when I knew I had chosen correctly. I thought, this is
you knew right then.
Heaven.
You knew right then, huh?
I knew right then. I knew right then. I had to keep that coat on,
right?
Because that, you know, yeah, that what it stood for was, you know, people's trust in me, and to be able to really make a difference in my little way, which is, you know, doing medicine, which is fixing broken bones, you know, sewing up lacerations, and hopefully keeping people healthy as much as we can.
Now, what's so far like your medical career? What's maybe some things that you've done and some things maybe you're doing now, and maybe where are you looking to go in the next couple of years or so?
You know, like I said, medicine is medicine. Patients are patients. So whatever, in whatever field, in whatever capacity I can help, I'll do that. But currently I'm medical director, and we'll plan to go back and forth to California, you know, to see the tough patients, to see patients that I need to see. But the majority of the time now, I'm basically overseeing the medical providers at the practice and do some telemedicine and do virtual medicine. So that's very exciting and engaging. And I love being part of that. I love being part of that practice.
And I'm sure it creates some different streams of income for you as well, correct?
It's true. It does. It does. It does that. And now that I have a little bit of more time on my hands, and since I'm waiting for the Texas license to come through, I have started to dedicate myself to my blog, my Vitamin Channel blog. And that, I got to tell you, is got to be one of my favorite things to do. Passion. It's all about nutrition.
I was reading just a little bit about that earlier. Now, it's the Vitamin Channel, and it's free, right? It's free to use, I believe.
Oh, it's free to use for everyone. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about that.
You know, it's basically breaking down vitamins, minerals, what they're used for, where you can get them, how to get them into your diet, what it means if you have a deficiency of it, what do they do for in the body. And I try to keep these articles pretty short and sweet. So someone that says, you know, say goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, you got to get more B6 in your diet. Hopefully this happens. I'm not sure that it happens in all doctors, but you know, they get to reading, okay, why is calcium and vitamin D, for instance, is so important. So you can go on my blog, look up calcium, look up why it's so important, what it is, what it isn't, what it can do in the body, how it can help prevent illness, and some of the studies that have been done on that particular vitamin or mineral, the foods that, you know, you can eat so you can naturally get that into your body. And I just break down every single vitamin and mineral nutrient that way. I'm really into people shopping locally and organically. I'm very, very passionate about plant-based medicine and nutrition, and you know, give a lot of tips on the blog. And I've made a few little videos here and there, but I think that I look forward to to being able to tell people what I know, that, you know, what you can, you have a lot of control over your health and wellness. You have a lot of control over your aches and pains and your energy levels. And just because mom and dad had diabetes, it doesn't mean that you're going to get diabetes.
Right.
If you make the right choices and eat well. And that's where the blog comes in.
I think that's great, Doctor. I mean, one thing about it is you are actually out there treating people, and you're seeing, you know, the different results, you know, from the daily habits that we have, right? Going through this last, you know, the COVID pandemic, you know, everyone was told to start taking more, I think it was vitamin D and zinc. So have you seen, I mean, have you seen more and more, you know, people out there, everyday people that are just wanting to educate themselves to learn more about how they can take health back into control of some of their, you know, and some things that we do on a daily basis, correct?
You know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think that the vitamin D and the zinc really got popular. Vitamin C got a nice little facelift again. Quercetin, that was one that was really popular. And so, people need to know.
What was that?
Well, if I don't want to swallow a bunch of pills, what do I take? What do I eat? Which is the best way, of course.
Right. Sorry to interrupt you. You had said something about, did you say quest? What was the vitamin?
Yeah, so quercetin is another type of antioxidant that was shown in some studies to have some benefit.
Interesting.
It's more studies are needed. But, you know, definitely the more solid ones out there were the vitamin D and the zinc. So people became very curious. Everyone was asking me actually about zinc a lot. I think people now really know about vitamin D, but zinc was sort of an afterthought before COVID came along. And I know a lot of my patients were wondering, well, what do I eat to get zinc?
Right.
And I would just tell them, well, there's a nice, short, sweet list on the Vitamin Channel. You can go in there and enjoy yourself. Just have a snack and you'll get your zinc.
Exactly. Well, I can tell just from your tone of voice and what you're talking about that you do have a passion for helping people. And so as far as, I mean, I see that you do blogging, you're a physician. You know, you talked in here about, you know, locum tenens, like I guess, You stay busy not only on I guess you've got different streams of income and locums is a way that you do that as well. Is that right?
My little secret. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's different for every physician, but you got to find your sweet spot as a doctor. You know, what do you want out of your medical career? You know, do you want fame and fortune? Do you want a reputation and a name? Do you want to just be a good community doctor and keep your patients happy and raise your family and have time for yourself and maybe your other side projects? It doesn't mean just because you are a physician, you're not, you know, an artist or a writer or other, you have other passions that you may want to contribute to, and that's going to take time. And I think that it's different for everyone, but sometimes, you know, you need a salary position because you have that steady income and you know all your you get to know all your patients and, you know, you have a place to hang your hat, but you give up a lot of freedom. You give up a lot of variety. You give up a lot of chances to maybe travel. You give up the ability to schedule periods of rest. And I'm not talking about the 2-3 weeks of vacation. When you work locum tenens, I have to tell you, that gives you so much freedom. And you have an enormous amount of variety that you can choose from. And I tell you, that keeps you on your toes. You go from place to place, from facility to facility. One month you may be working inpatient. The next month you may be working outpatient, maybe over the telephone a little bit, maybe in an ER or an urgent care. All of these are areas that allows that doctor to keep their skills up.
Right.
So if you just consider your salaried position, just one place, you may kind of be losing out on a lot of these other potential.
I love what you're saying, Doctor.
Yes, you,
not to interrupt you, but
income,
it,
frankly.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. You bring up a great point. And, you know, you being a board certified family physician out there treating people day in, day out, you're studying, you're always keeping up with things and new types of medicines, I'm sure. You know, one thing that through the pandemic I'm seeing is a lot of people are getting burnt out, doctors, right? They've got a lot of pressure on them already and dealing with staffing situations, things like that. And you having the ability to do different things to keep you, what you said, you know, somewhat fresh, you know,
absolutely.
So is that something that you find that is rewarding with what you're doing, not just in the locums, but keeping busy doing all kinds of different things, correct?
That's true. But if it weren't for locums, I got to tell you, I would never have this kind of variety. Yes, I held a salary position in an urgent care clinic in Beverly Hills, and I loved my patients. They were so interesting. But it was COVID. It was difficult. There were lines outside the door, and you had to, you know, work day in and day out, as did all the doctors. It's nothing that I did that was different. Everyone did that. But burnout is a real thing. So if you consider letting locums into your life, so to speak, if you maybe practice a little bit of locums on the side or in lieu of, say, one of your jobs, you know, because most physicians tend to have about one or two jobs, right?
Yes.
So if you incorporate a little bit of a locums assignment into your practice, it does freshen you up and it gets your motivation and your juices going again.
It's probably like getting into a cold shower, right? Sometimes you never know what you're going to walk into, correct?
Exactly. And you know what? Doing locums, you can always schedule that little period of rest. Maybe, you know, you go hard for about 6-7 months and then you want to take maybe a whole month to work on that blog or work on the writing assignment or, you know, you have a project that you've been offered to work on. You can do that, COVID or not. Locums allows that, and locums is an excellent way to even, you know, increase your pay. You know, doctors do medicine not for money. Generally, that's not a good way to, if you're looking to just make money, you shouldn't go into medicine. But at the end of the day, you have a family to take care of, you have financial goals, and I think doing some locums really helps the bottom line, actually.
Definitely.
And I really love it. It's been my secret for as long as I can remember. I really like it. The other thing that I like locums is that you learn about so many different. So each practice facility, each clinic has their own little local culture.
Yes.
Their own manner of doing things. And you get to learn from all of these different places.
Right.
So say you have 5 coworkers at your regular job, or say you're the owner of the practice, your boss, you've got that responsibility, you've got your patients, you know, but you still have just a few coworkers that you can learn from. When you go do a locums assignment, you are now exposed to a whole variety of other doctors from maybe other states, other ages, different levels of training. Maybe at a different time in their training, if they're fresh out of medical school, if they're fresh out of residency, or say the very seasoned physician, now you are exposed to all of their skill sets and you learn so much. It's such an excellent experience.
I'm sure.
I think that's probably my favorite thing about locums, that I get to see how one thing is done, say how one laceration is done across the entire United States. You can do it that way. You can actually go on different assignments and travel and get to see what someone in Arkansas is doing versus someone in California.
I love that. And also what I'm hearing is you get to walk in, let's say you go into one practice on a Monday morning in June and it's a regular type primary care, urgent care type center. And they've got 5 support people with them. You work that shift, okay, and you determine, hey, that went great. And then you go work, let's say, another place on a Tuesday, and it's the same setting, but you're like, oh, my God, this place is crazy. Do you ever see any differences in the people that you work with other than just, you know what I'm saying there?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I not only do I know, I feel it. I know exactly what you're talking about. You sure you're not a doctor?
I'm sure. Yes.
That is really what happens. So that's one thing with locums. When I said it keeps you on your toes, it keeps you on your toes. It gives you that experience. Not everywhere is going to be exactly how you expected it. Not every clinic is going to have the setup that you have set up as medical director or owner or a partner or staff physician, right? You're going to walk into places that are calling for your help for a reason. You also are walking into some of these places because maybe they're in need of help.
Yes.
And you need to know that you're there to help. So you need to go and make it a little bit better and easier. Remember that. If you want to survive, you got to keep the number one boss happy, which is the patient. But then also you're walking into some of the clinics that may need your help, that are struggling a little bit. And it's so rewarding to go in and offer your experience to your new coworkers and your new staff, and, you know, see these nice bright-eyed medical assistants and nurses and things that are very, very willing to help you and learn from your experience.
Yes. I love your attitude.
It's a nice back and forth. But yeah, it's like I said, that's the big thing. You got to really just keep your number one boss happy. The biggest secret, no matter what you do, that your boss is your patient.
Right.
You have to learn that you're there to serve. You're there to serve to serve the patient, basically.
Well, I can hear your compassion. I hear your passion. I think that not only are you healing patients from a physical standpoint, you know, putting a Band-Aid or, you know, sutures or whatever, you know, giving them some type of medication, but also you're listening to them. And a lot of times I think that when a physician, especially working locums, if you show up somewhere, they look at you, you're kind of like the leader. And at the same time, they've been there and have been doing things a certain way. You have to understand that when you get there, that you're dealing with personalities as well, correct?
Exactly. And you know what? You don't have to be best friends with everyone. But you have to understand that the reason they called you is because they need your help. So you got to go and make all of their lives easier.
Right. And you're doing that in all areas. And I love your attitude, doctor. That is great.
Oh, yeah, no, that's something that locums has taught me, though. That's the attitude. I realized that, wow, I walked into certain places and they had their stuff together. And I was the sponge. I was the one soaking things up and how to do things very efficiently. You know, and I could take that back to my salaried position, say. But a lot of the times, you know, it works the other way around. So, you know, and if you do that, if you just keep in mind and don't take yourself so seriously, you know, really be accommodating. If they need you to work an extra shift, say yes. You never know what can happen at that extra shift. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know what skill you're going to pick up. You never know what skill you have forgotten and now you're going to actually relearn it or remember it. But you will just have so many content and grateful people on your hands.
Yes.
But the biggest thing is just be accommodating and you're going to get way more out of it than they do as the locum physician.
That's awesome. And due to time, and believe me, I have other questions. We're going to have to end this soon, but I did have one last question to ask you. And this is just, okay, working with, you know, with the blogging, doing the locums and the different things that you've done in your career, when you go to these places and you are the new person, like you just show up and you're the new person there and you see how one place works effectively and efficiently where another place might have some struggles, what would you say is the number one, what would be one of the number one reasons that is, you think?
You know, I think that sometimes certain facilities, they have multiple sites, and I think they take on more than they're ready to take on. I think that seems to be a common denominator, and I think they start to fall short with staffing, or the staffing that they have gets burned out, or they feel that it's too much work and,
right.
and there isn't enough time to maybe have the management train the staff. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think each facility may take on a little bit more than they can handle. And it's growing pains. I don't know that it's altogether bad. I just think that there's stages, and you may walk into a facility at a stage where it's growing and it may seem chaotic, but it's just growth. That's what's happening.
Right.
So it may feel a little uncomfortable, but they're growing.
Right.
But that's it. I think that if anything, I think it's the growth spurts that seem to make a clinic or a facility look like it's a little in need of help, a little
right.
maybe disorganized for the time being, but that's all. I think it's just growth.
Well, just again, you've got a great attitude, a positive outlook. Thank goodness. Being a physician, of course, I expect that, but you are definitely walking the talk. And how can people find out more about you, Dr. Ella?
Well, you know, it's easy to find me because I have a blog, so I'm pretty out there. But if you all are interested, it's the Vitamin Channel blog. And I've got social media outlets. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. And I've got an email. So all you have to do is just go to the blog and you can contact me there. You can send me questions and things like that, which actually ends up happening a lot. I get a lot of questions on Instagram. Say if someone has a question on a particular vitamin and I get a lot of questions from students looking to do homework and looking to do the reports and things like that. So yeah, you can contact me there, but yeah, go check it out. The Vitamin Channel.
All right. All right. Well, again, we have been here today with Dr. Ella Gregorian from Dallas, Texas, and a board certified physician in Texas and California, but check her out at the blog there. And again, doctor, you have a great week. Thanks for what you're doing. Keep it up.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me on. It was awesome. Wonderful chatting with you.
Thank you. You too.
If you want to hear more, go to MedcareBusinessNetwork.com. This has been a presentation of MedCare Staffing, where we come through for you.